Praise the Lord and greetings in the matchless and mighty name of Jesus. I am Pastor Johnny Magnus and I'm coming to you from Mount Calvary Miracle Temple at 1004 North Osage, Okmulgee, Oklahoma, 74447. As usual, I'm very glad to be here this morning. I'm here early because it's difficult for me to make it here for the 7:30 time that we normally have, but with it recorded, you can watch it at any time during the day, all right, after this. Want to thank the Lord for Sunday. We had a wonderful word that came forth through Elder Pope, amen. Just want to thank the Lord for the ministers and deacons here that make sure that they stay separated and clean enough to be able to preach God's word. A lot of people are very good orators, but that's all they are because they don't actually live the life. But when you live the life that is meaningful, amen, and it comes out in the way that you speak. We thank the Lord for our First Lady Zandra Magnus, amen, and all the ministers and deacons here. First Lady will be our speaker on Sunday. So I ask that you come on out and hear your First Lady. Amen. If you're not able to make it, not just because you want to stay home, but if you're not able to make it, you know the message will be on Facebook Live. Amen. This morning, we're talking about deliverance. The topic is keep it made up, the made up mind. But it's talking about deliverance. And so we want to get into, I have a little paragraph that I've written here. The first scripture we will have is from Psalm 119, verses 8 through 10. Praise the Lord, Deacon Collis and Sister Vicki. And so I'm going to read this and then we'll go to Psalm 119, verses 8 through 10. And I have a question here. What many might ask, well, how do I make up my mind? I've done it 1,000 times, and each time I went back. And that's what we're going to deal with, all right? And let me read this. The made-up mind is easily made up in the midst of high praises during an inspired word. A made-up mind is easy at the point of realization and repentance. When one makes up their mind about serving the Lord, they are sincere, without any ambiguity and no reservations. However, the flesh did not agree to what your spirit man agreed to. Satan did not decide, oh well, their mind is made up, so I'll stop bothering them. The tentacles of the world that were attached to you will not stop aggressively pursuing you. Too many people have this idea, once I get saved, where everything is going to be easy and, you know, I'll be delivered from sin. They think that if they were an alcoholic, they won't be tempted to drink again. They think if they were on drugs, they won't be tempted to go back to drugs. Look, that is what your flesh knew for a long time, all right? And your flesh remembers that feeling. Your flesh remembers the illicit nature of being in sin. And it's going to try to make the whole of you remember that and remember it in a way of wanting to go back to it. And so you have to understand when you come to the Lord, you come into a fight. Amen. Before you weren't fighting because sin had overtaken you. Basically, it was like being in the ring with Mike Tyson, but you just decided to lay on the floor and curl up in a fetal position. All right. But now you are under the power of God. You're utilizing the power of God. Now you can stand up and fight, and you won't like some of the punches that's being thrown at you because the punches will be remembrances, can we say PTSD in a sense of speaking, PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder in a way of speaking. So things will come at you that were coming at you before, the same swings and jabs and blows and kicks and everything that was coming at you is still going to come at you, But now you have power to resist it, but you have to rely on that power. You have to know that it exists. And so too many people, when they come to the Lord, they didn't anticipate this to happen, so they go back. They made up their mind that they wouldn't do these things, but now, you know, it's like they have misunderstood what being in God is about. They have preconceived ideas of what God is about. And then when they see these temptations come, they say, well, I thought I was saved. You are saved. But just because you're saved don't mean that the enemy is not going to suggest things to your flesh. It doesn't mean that your flesh is not going to cry out and want to do the same things that it did before. It is your spirit man that has now risen up in you and made a decision on your behalf. We're going to be saved. And I'm here now to control the old part of you that didn't want to be saved. And I'm here to keep him under subjection. Let me read this last paragraph. A made up mind, therefore, needs more than its strong emotion, more than that feeling at the time of repentance that says, I'm invincible. To keep it made up, work must be done. There is a way to keep it made up by doing what the word is saying. Our mind, our made up minds can stay made up. All right. Psalm 119 verses 8 through 10 says, this is our psalmist speaking, I will keep thy statutes, O forsake me not utterly. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee, O let me not wander from thy commandments. We see in verse 8, determination. And that's what we all have when we come to the Lord. We tell the Lord what we will do. I will not do this. I will serve you. And we're geared up. We're powerful. We feel the presence of the Lord on us. We feel godly sorrowful for having sinned against the Lord and done so many abominable things in our lives. And we are so determined that we are going to live right. And this is what the psalmist is saying, I will, okay? But then he asked the question, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his ways? The young man just said, I will. The young woman just said, I will. The old man just said, I will. The old woman just said, I will, okay? But you can't just have determination. You cannot rely upon the grit that you had when you was in the world. The type of grit that you relied upon will get you so far. But when it comes to the tentacles of sin, the tentacles that reach out to the flesh, we're going to need more than just our own intellectual determination. We're going to have more than that. So the psalmist said, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto unto the word. So when you take heed, it is not just being in agreement that the word is correct. We all can read the word. Before we ever read scriptures, we had already determined that God's word is right. Before we understood the scripture that we read, we knew that God's word was right. So it's more than just accepting that the word is right. But when you take heed to, you're holding on to it. You are doing it. You are active in it. When you take heed, you're saying this word is my power. This word is authority over the powers that come against me. And the word alone is the power over all of these things that I did not have power over before I came to the Lord. So we've got to understand how. We've got the determination. We've got the mindset that we made up our mind and said, Lord, I will serve you. I will not go back on the things that I used to do or to the things I used to do. Lord, I will, I will, I will. And we tell ourselves that so much. And if we don't take heed to the word, if it does not become active in us, if it does not become a part of us, if it does not become second nature in us, we turn back on our own determination, our own promise, where we say, Lord, I will, and we feel so bad that many of us will backslide and go apostate from the Lord because we feel like there is no hope. Well, You messed up because you didn't utilize the right power. You went back after you told the Lord that I'm going to serve you. You went back not because that was your mind to do. It was because you didn't drape yourself in the power to keep yourself from going back. All right. So he tells us here he's got determination, telling the Lord, I will. And then he says, this is how I'm going to do it. Wherewithal shall I keep saying I will? How withal will I keep saying that I'm not going to keep living the life of not going back into sin? And he says, by taking heed thereto unto thy word. All right. And then he said, I will seek you with my whole heart. Deuteronomy 6:4-5, it says, behold, Israel, the Lord our God is one, and thou shalt serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart, thy mind, with all thy, well, let me get that here, because I want to make sure I say it right. It says, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. All right, that's Deuteronomy 6:4-5. So when we tell the Lord, I will, we've got to back up that I will with the power to be able to do it. That's his word. All right. Once we get into his word, we've got to get so engrossed that we say, as the psalmist said here, with my whole heart have I sought thee. That word will cause you to seek more word. That word will cause you to seek more of God. Whatever your precepts are, Lord, whatever you are saying to me, Lord, I will do those things. But I'm not just saying it with my mouth. I'm not just saying it out of my mind. I'm not just saying it with the emotions that I feel. But Lord, I'm backing it up with the word that you have given me. I'm going to let your word be my power. I'm not going to try to be my own power, but I'm going to allow your word to be the power. So anybody listening to this, if you keep telling the Lord that I'm going to serve you, you keep telling the Lord that I'm going to keep this deliverance, because when you ask God for deliverance, those of you that's been here, you know that the Lord will answer that prayer. And there is I call it a spirit of deliverance that will come upon you. You can feel it. You feel like it's wrapped around you. The hairs are standing up on your back, and you got a lump in your throat and tears come in your eyes. You're so grateful because the Lord has answered you with his power to come and shield you, to give you a recess, if you will, from your own desires, your own lust. But now, while he has shielded you like that, you've got to get into the word so you can keep what the Lord has just given you, because it's going to have to be you are the vehicle, and it's going to have to be your desire to continue to be delivered. So if you're out there and you keep going back on the word that you've given to the Lord, look here, I want you to know, I believe you are sincere. But you are sincerely deprived of what you need to be able to keep that word. And what you need is God's word. So listen, in 2 Timothy 2:15, we will see here, a lot of us, we will read, but we don't do what 2 Timothy 2:15 is saying. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. The word here says study. Let's look at what study says. It says to be earnest, to do diligence, to labor. Okay? You cannot simply read the word only. Okay, I get it. Early morning devotion before you go out to your job and you read a chapter. That's good stuff. But David said, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law, does he what? Doth he meditate both day and night? Meditation is a form of study, because as you are going back over those scripture verses that you read before you went out to your job, before you went out shopping, before you went on that trip, whatever it is, You read that word. So now seek the Lord for understanding. Look, David and these people that we look to that have written the word of God, inspired by God, they didn't have the tools that we have. So I can say, study. Here's this wonderful book that Jones family bought me. Vine's Expository Dictionary. I've had a number of these throughout my life, but I keep giving them away, and then they got me another one, all right? Now look, we have this tool. We can look up a word, and the word is broken down. Each place that it's used, a definition is given for exactly what it means in that place. We have that ability to buy a library and understand each word. We can get a book called Mannerisms and Customs of the Bible to understand the strength of those words that they used back then, how they are different from now, okay? They didn't have all that back then, we do. Now look, meditating is a form of study. When you meditate upon the word, you're showing God that you're interested in his word, that you desire to live according to his word. And when you do that, God will begin connecting dots for you. You'll begin to understand things that you were not able to understand before. And as God illuminates his word in your soul, it sparks you up. It gives you a holy energy, if you will. You get excited about the fact that you're learning more about God, more about his word, which is God. His word is him. And as you are getting sparked up and energized, it makes you want to know more about God. It makes you want to live for him. It makes you want to seek him more. So I want to give you this. Not everybody can afford to buy these books. Now look here. If folks can afford, you know, all these other luxuries and stuff like that, and we'll get into a few scripture verses here that show us what I'm saying here. Well, if you can afford these luxuries and things like that, you can afford to buy a few books. Amen. They're not real expensive. Some of them are. I've got one here. William Brumley is the lead theologian on this particular dictionary. And when I got this about 30 years ago, it was a $70 book. Now, 30 years ago, $70 was a whole lot of money, okay? But there are books available that if you want to know about the Word of God, you can know more about it, and it's affordable. There are Bibles out there that have definitions and commentary in them, and they are more expensive than the normal Bible. But if you want to know about God, you want something that can feed you better than what you have. But if you don't have the money for that, your greatest resource is God himself. Now look, you can't just be an academic studier, an intellectual studier of the word, because you're going to go off track. You have to be a spiritual studier and allow your intellect to come in and grasp some things. But you first and foremost must be spiritual, because you're seeking God to know more about him. Then God will pull up what's in you, in your intellect, to help you understand what you're looking at. And the reason why I say you can't do it intellectually, because when you just do it from here, there's no sincerity here. There's only a desire to know up here. But when it's coming out of here, there is a sincerity to live for the Lord, and it prompts this to, it engages this to have the same mindset as this, all right? So your heart has to want to know about God, and you meditate upon the things of God. And, you know, I've told you all this before, but I had gotten saved, and I was so woefully ignorant about the scriptures. You know, I had gone to church my whole life, and we won't talk about the differences in churches and things like that. But it was just a Sunday morning service, and, you know, there just wasn't a whole lot to get there. Let me just say that. But I believe people were sincere, okay? Now, I get saved, and I find out I don't really know anything. And I used to walk many, many miles to get to my job. And while I'm walking to get to my job, I'm thinking about pastor's Bible class. I'm thinking about scriptures that I read. I'm thinking about the message that was preached, and I probably got my eyebrows pointed straight down toward my nose. I wasn't angry, but I probably looked that way. But I was just seeking the Lord to know. I had to do a lot of meditating and a lot of seeking before I got just a little bit of illumination. But saints of God, let me tell you, once I received a little bit of illumination, that little bit goes a long way. So then as you began to study the Word of God, that little bit of illumination that you received on those few scripture verses crosses over to many, many other verses that you read, and all of a sudden that light comes on and you're like, okay, all right, I got it now. And then you get excited. It causes you to want to study more. It causes you to want to live for God, and you recognize that as you live for God, the more revelated you become in His Word, all right? So study, don't just read, study. You got to labor in this thing, all right? You got to be diligent in this thing. You got to meditate upon the Word. Don't just read, but study, all right? To show yourself approved, this word approved means acceptable. The Word gives you power to live holy, so that power to live holy, your living holy, makes you acceptable. Now look, the blood of Jesus Christ was atonement for us. It made us acceptable, but we got to stay acceptable. We sold my son's truck. You know, he didn't want to drive that big gas guzzler anymore, and so we got rid of it, and so I let him have my silver car. Now, anybody that really knows me know I like to keep my cars clean. I don't like dirty cars. Sometimes can't help it. It's raining a lot and everything like that. But I don't like dirty cars. And then where I work, I like my car to look clean. It needs to blend in with all those nice vehicles out there that are clean and high dollar and all of that. Anyway, he's only had the car a little over a week now, and the thing looked like it hadn't been washed in a year. All right? Now, when I gave it to him, it was an acceptable car. Now, I don't call it an acceptable car because it's sitting there filthy. I passed by it this morning, and I was just looking at it, and it's just dirt all the way from underneath all the way across the top. It almost looked like a tarp has been put on it. Y'all, we've been made acceptable unto the Lord by the blood of Jesus Christ. Let's keep ourselves clean. Amen. When people look at us, let them be looking at us to see the example that we're supposed to be, not looking at us, looking at like, look how filthy they are. Look at this. This is just a disgrace. We don't want to do that. So listen, saints, we have to have the Word in us. Study the Word to know what the Word is meaning. Don't just read it to say, I read, but study it to know what it means. And when you find out what it means, then the power of the meaning behind it will keep you, all right? You won't have to worry about staying delivered because the Word itself will keep you delivered. And even when you have plenty of Word in you and there are some temptations that come to take you by a force that you've never seen before, I guarantee you, all you got to do is start praying. Say, Lord, help me right now. If you really want deliverance, you start praying, say, Lord, I need your help. And the Lord will come so quickly, bringing up that word in you, bringing up the songs of Zion in you, to the point that now the temptation that seemed like it was just going to snatch you up and take you by force now has no power and authority to work in you. All right? All right, so it says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed. This word ashamed means disfigurement, disgrace. It means to be in sin. So when you study the Word of God, you won't have to worry about being found in sin. Disfigurement, meaning that you have been changed into a new creature, but sin will come and disfigure you and make you to look like something grotesque, because that's what sin is. It's grotesque, and it makes you to appear to be grotesque. Your character flaws will increase, and things about you will change, and you'll turn into something that you were not. And so understand, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, doing what? Rightly dividing the word of truth. So to keep a made up mind, you must study. All right. And John 15, Jesus said, they are clean how? Through the word which I have spoken unto them. You're not clean because you just got a bunch of grit and determination. You're not delivered and staying delivered because you got a nice house. You're not staying delivered because your bank account is fat. You're not staying delivered for all these reasons. You're staying delivered for, number one, the word of God is in you. Number two, God is keeping you from the things that would draw you away. And it gets me how some people are so arrogant, you know, this attitude like, I'm holy. That's what I am. And I'm all that in a bag of chips. I live for God. And even they don't realize the only reason why you're kept is because of God. And God has kept some things away from you. Let's say you were a thief that you couldn't see a dollar laying nowhere that you didn't just sneakily go and grab. But the reason why you hadn't stolen the last 2 years is because God kept all opportunity away from you. No ladies' purses was open. Nobody left money laying around for you to even think about it. And if he was to allow a $10 bill to sit there and nobody was around, you'd be sweating bullets, your heart would be pounding, your armpits would be sweaty, and it'd be everything you can do not to take the $10. But listen, it's because of the Lord that he sustained you, he kept you. He didn't allow these things to come up on you, and then he allowed his word in you. So where you have not been yet strengthened, God knows how not to let things come and sweep you away. Romans 10:17, it says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. How does faith come? By hearing. You know, all these people say, I'm the church and I can have church at home. God has designed a system, and the system is unique, and you cannot do it your way. You have to do it God's way. So what people do, they say, I am the church. I can have church at home. They start establishing their own doctrine and dogma, and they say, I live cleaner than some of them people in the church. You hear that stuff that they're doing in the church? I don't do that stuff. Well, look here, the devil don't have to spend no time on you. He already got you. So he's not pushing your flesh with suggestions to do abominable things. He wants you to appear that you are righteous so he can lead other people astray into the same junk that you're thinking, your own doctrine and your own dogma. You can't do it your way, all right? So when the devil got you, he don't have to spend no time on you. And so every once in a while, you hear about somebody that you thought was saved. They've been in the church for 20 years, and all of a sudden you hear that they've done something that's quite ugly. Well, that's a problem that they have. That's a problem that they allowed to come upon themselves. They didn't stay delivered. Sometimes you have to wonder, was a person ever delivered? Because when these big things happen, that didn't just happen in the blink of an eye. It didn't just happen overnight. So it makes me wonder if they haven't been doing a little bit here and a little bit there all along, and then suddenly something big happened and they were exposed. But regardless of that, some people who have been claiming the name of Jesus, claiming to be saved, what we call heinous things happen and everybody hears about it. But that don't give you the right to say, I ain't never going to church. Look how them church folk are. The Bible has a system. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And I encourage you to go read the rest of it. How can they hear without a preacher? And how can he preach unless God has sent him? So you've got to be in a place, God has designed it so that you will become sparked up and energized And faith will resonate in you. It will grow in you because of hearing the word of God. All right. Psalm 119 and 11. It says, "Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee." And the psalmist said, whose word? Talking to the Lord. "Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee." That's Psalm 119 and 11. And David is letting us know how we are to retain our salvation, how we are to retain our deliverance. "I'm delivered, Lord, and I want to stay delivered. How do I stay delivered? I hide his word in my heart so that I won't go back to what I used to do." If you want deliverance, you're going to have to put some in. You got to have some skin in the game, because the skin, or can I say, the blood of Jesus Christ is already in. Now, you are saved through faith in the blood of Jesus Christ. You repented. You got baptized in Jesus' name, filled with the Holy Ghost. All right? So now your skin in the game is you must resist. And the only way you can resist is if you have God's word in you. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. No, let's back up. Submit yourself therefore unto God. What are you submitting to? You are submitting to God's word. So you submit to God's word. That's when you have the power to resist the devil, and that's when he will flee from you. Does it mean that he'll stay away? I saw a video of a cat that kept coming for this dog, and the dog kept pinning the cat down. He was like having mercy on him because he could have bit him, and he pinned the cat down. And then the dog tried to walk off, and the cat decided he wanted some more. So he came to a dog. Dog turned around and pinned the cat down again. The cat was fighting like this, and the dog pinned him down again. And I think he kind of growled at the cat. And then he took some steps off, and here's a cat again trying to come again for some more fight. That's how the enemy is. Every time you pin him, every time you resist, you have a space of time that you're not going to deal with that same issue. But trust me, it's coming back again. Amen. And you can't stop studying the word, feeding your soul the word of God. You can't stop praying. You can't stop fasting just because the enemy hasn't come to you in a while with these temptations. You got to keep on doing what you're doing, because at some point he's coming back again, and you got to be vigilant enough, like that dog was with that cat, and be vigilant enough to know he's coming up behind you, and you got to be vigilant enough to know he's coming and strong enough to do something about it. All right? Let's read a definition of this word hid, because David said, "Thy word have I hid in my heart." The word hid is to hoard or to reserve, to protect or to lay up. This lets you know that the word was of supreme value to the psalmist, all right? That the word is something that we should value above all else, all right? But when we have the word down on the list of number 5, it's number 7, it's number 11 on our list, then it is not going to be able to work in our favor on our behalf, because we don't value it enough to hoard it, to hide it in our heart, to put it in reserve, if you will. You know, stuff that you really value, you have a tendency to make sure it's guarded well. You know, I value my car keys, so I try to put them in the same spot all the time. Now, when I know that my 3-year-old grandbaby is coming to visit, guess what I do? I make sure those keys are put up at a height where she can't even see them, so that there's no chance that she will grab them, and then we'll be looking all night and all day for those keys. When you value something, you'll put that something in position, because in position where it's guarded, safeguarded, and is there when you need it, all right? The word of God, when it says to hoard or to reserve, to lay up, that's something that you value. That's something you want to be able to reach out and grab. That's something that you've placed a high value on. And I have to ask the question, what value have we placed on the word of God? What is the value that we have on the word of God? All right. Let's read a few bullet points here. What do we hoard? Figurines, shoes, hats, cookware, money, cars, guns. All right. What do we hoard? What is it that we value equal to the word, or maybe, dare I say, above the word? All right. So the word has to be so valued that we store it up, we hoard it. We want as much of it as we can possibly get. All right. How important is God's word? Is it important enough to hoard? What keeps us from sinning? The word hidden in our heart. All right. Romans, the 8th chapter, verses 38 and 39. Now, we're going back to determination again, but this determination is not without the power of God. Romans 8, 38 and 39 says, "For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord." What are we persuaded towards? To work, to a relationship, education, fitness, beauty, becoming rich? We really need to establish where our minds really are and be honest enough, because God already knows, so we might as well be honest with ourselves and ask ourselves, what is our persuasion? What are we persuaded toward that we ain't going to let nobody get in the way of? And if God is not that number one thing, then I'm going to tell you something. The other stuff that you plan on guarding and not letting nobody get close to, you can't do nothing about it. But when you are persuaded that none of these things shall keep you from the love of God in Christ Jesus, then you have also the power to guard these other things and keep anything from coming up on them. Because what you've been blessed with by God, one scripture tells us, it says, I believe it says, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. I'm trying to remember. There's two different scriptures. Somebody that's on here might help me. He will pour you out a blessing that you won't have room enough to receive. And then he said after that, which a lot of people don't read on from there, it says, and he will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, that your leaf will not wither. So in other words, when you're in God and God bless you with things, he won't let the enemy be able to affect your things. But when your things are before God, if your things are before God, then your things will be affected by the enemy and by you because you value them too high. But when God is your number one value, he blesses you with these things, with relationships and all of this kind of thing. And God will guard your things and your relationships, all right? What are we persuaded towards? Work, relationship, education, fitness, beauty, or becoming rich, or something else? Let it be God. What level of intensity do we have towards serving the Lord? Do we have that level of intensity that says, look, I ain't trying to hear none of that? Y'all know how you are when your mind is made up, you're gonna start a business. And somebody will start talking and it sounds negative to you, like you don't have enough money. Hey, look, shut up. I'm not trying to hear none of that. I'm doing what I'm doing. It's on my mind. I got my business plan already set before me. The wheels are in motion. The steps have already been taken. You just shut that down. And if you can't do that, you get out of my house. Y'all know how you are. Do we have that same intensity toward the things of God when somebody start lipping about, you know, I don't know why you believing in that. Hey, I believe and I'm going to continue to believe, and I'm not hearing any of that. I wonder what our level of intensity is towards the Lord. We're going to go back to Psalm 119, verses 104 through 106. Through thy precepts I get understanding. Therefore, I hate every false way. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I have sworn and I will perform it, that I will keep thy righteous judgments. Again, we're talking about keep it made up, the made up mind. We're talking about deliverance, all right? And if we're really interested in being delivered and staying delivered, then we'll listen to what I'm saying here today, because this is word and this is true. And stop feeling like a failure, because when you rely on you, you will be a failure. If I rely on me, I will be a failure. But when we rely on God and what he's saying, we will be victorious. And you'll feel, so godly proud when the same temptation that would have snatched you away last week didn't touch you this week, because the word of God was in you. Now, don't get so carried away and beat your chest like King Kong, like I'm all that. That's right. I passed that test. It's coming back again. So make sure, when they find out that you are a math prodigy, they're not going to keep giving you the same equations to conquer that they gave you the last time. They're going to step it up a notch. They're going to give more difficult equations for you to solve. So understand, instead of beating your chest and saying, I'm all that in a bag of chips, remember the enemy is coming back again. He's going to try to twist things up and bring you back to that same thing, but he's coming a different way. So you got to stay in the word. All right. It says through thy precepts. In other words, through God's word, we have understanding. By his word in us and living it, we hate unrighteousness. Remember, the scripture says you can't serve God and mammon. You'll either hold to the one and despise the other, love the one and hate the other one. But you can't be kind on both sides. You can't look at both and say, I like them equally. So you can't have one foot in the world and one foot in God. It don't work that way. That one foot in the world means that both feet are in the world, because you can't have a foot in the world and a foot in with God. It doesn't work that way. God don't dwell in that type of situation, all right? He's not going to come and empower you when you are freely letting yourself be in the world. But if you got that foot out in the world and you start seeking God and say, God, I want this foot out of here and I want to be totally and wholly in you, God will come, all right? His word is our ability to know our destination, the ability to see our way there. So you got to know where you're going, all right? I hope that your destination is the same as mine. We all want to have eternity with the Lord. We all want to be in glory with the Lord, all right? We all have that same destination in mind, but we all don't have an illuminated path to be able to get there. We're stumbling, we're tripping, busting our head wide open, trying to do it our way. But why don't you do like David said, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I want a clear path. I want to be able to see to my destination. And if my path is not illuminated, I'm not going to make it. I am determined to keep my word unto you, Lord, and by your word, I will perform it. Amen. I got to get a drink of water here. I've been having some kind of, I think it's allergies or something. But somehow a sip of water can make you feel so much better. I am determined to keep my word unto you, Lord, and by your word, I will perform it. There's a scripture where it says, I have sworn and I will perform it, that I will keep thy righteous judgments. All right, Proverbs You know, I think I want to just jump over to Hebrews. Hebrews, the 12th chapter, verses 1 through 3. Hebrews, the 12th chapter, verses 1 through 3. And this will be the end of our lesson today. Over in Proverbs, the 6th chapter, Solomon was speaking to a young man, and it says to bind the word upon you and basically commit it to your memory. Tie it up to you, you know, if you need to, with the word on you, tie it to you. Make sure that the word is bound to you so that you can be able to do what needs to be done. Amen. In Hebrews 12, verses 1 through 3, it says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us." Now, in the previous chapter, it talked about many of our historical figures that lived by their faith. They did what the Lord said. And so the writer here is telling us, since we see what they did, and we're living in a time of being able to be filled with the Holy Ghost, he's saying, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. Let's get delivered and let's stay delivered, all right? And let us run with patience. Why would he say let us run with patience? I'm saved now. Everything is wonderful, copacetic. The sun is shining on both sides of the street. What I got to be patient about? You better have some patience, because the adversary is coming after you. Your own flesh is coming after you. Your flesh don't want to live holy. Satan don't want you to live holy. The world you live in don't want you to live holy. So you got all of this coming against you. So you better have the power of God strong on the inside of you, a desire to be saved, a desire to be delivered, and a strong enough will to stay delivered. And the only way your will is that strong is if the word of God is on the inside of you. All right. So let us lay aside every weight and the sin. Look, day by day, no matter how strong you have gotten today by the word of God, and you can see that you're miles away from where you once were, keep on pushing. Every day you got to lay aside every weight and the sin. Weights are things that people don't seem to concern themselves with. They'll do things that's not really classified as unholy or a sin, but they don't give honor to God. They don't worship God. And anything that doesn't give honor to God, to worship God, can become something that is so weighty that it turns us against God. And then what would that be called? That would be called a sin. All right. Now it says, "And let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith." Who do we need to look to? We need to look to Jesus. Listen to your pastor when he preaches and teaches. Listen to the other ministers when they preach and teach. Listen to those of spiritual wisdom when they speak. But what they are speaking is of Jesus Christ. So you're looking unto him, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. I'm sorry, y'all. Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your mind. So when you think you're going through so much, you need to consider what Jesus went through. And he wasn't weary. He went on through it and did what it took. And he went through a whole lot more than any of us ever will go through. So just because somebody criticized you for living holy, just because somebody frowned up at you, just because somebody don't want to be your friend no more, they quit calling you, and you want to compromise the word of God over such small things, that means we're frail in the things of God if that's the case. We need to strengthen up in the word of God. And again, we say faith came how? By hearing. Hearing what? The word of God. And so how can you lay aside every weight and sin? How can you walk in faith? Amen. You do it by being able to hear the word of God. You read the word of God and it illuminates. It begins to speak to you as well. Amen. A lot of times you might even hear a minister's voice, the pastor's voice, talking at you, because that's the voice that you have come to recognize giving the word of God. I heard my pastor's voice, I don't know how many times, especially when I may have been considering doing something that was carnal. Amen. And I hear the pastor, Magnus, you know, because pastor called me Magnus, and I hear Magnus, and then I hear some of that preached word, and it's helpful. Amen. You need to look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. You can't endure nothing if you don't have something set in your sights. If heaven is not your objective, if eternal life with the Lord is not your objective, then carnality and temporal things are going to be able to overcome you. Not just you, me too. So listen, saints of God, have a joy set before you, because even Jesus, it says it was for the joy that was set before him. And I've told you over and over again, that joy is me and you. Him knowing that his sacrifice would allow us to be saved, allow us to be delivered, allow us to stay delivered because of the power that he will send back to us, the Holy Ghost. And when you read the word, you are empowering the Holy Ghost that's in you, amen, to strengthen you. We'll read these two bullet points. What is set before us? And what is our hope? What is our motivation? All right? And so listen, if it's not the right thing, let's make it the right thing. All right? If eternity with the Lord is not our objective, let's make it our objective. All right? If hoarding the word of God in our heart has not been what we were doing, let's do it now. The Lord blessed me to have a job one time. I had that job for 7 years, that particular position. And that particular position allowed me to study anytime I wanted to. I mean, I would be back there just reading that word of God and just enjoying the fact that I had all that time to read God's word. The Lord was empowering me and giving me an opportunity to do something that I would not have opportunity to do when I received a different position that would take up a great deal of my time. But the word had been hoarded. The word had been stored up, shelved, if you will, on the inside. And even today, I feel that I am feasting off of that word. Now, again, I have a job now. I can't say that I can study anytime I want to, but I have the leniency to go to the computer and pull up Bible Gateway. Y'all, we are without excuse, because we got word every which way we turn. And I can pull up Bible Gateway and begin to pull up scriptures. I can go to commentary. I can go to dictionaries and all of that, and cross-reference scripture verses and all of that. And within 15 minutes, I can have so much knowledge concerning one little subject matter, just, you know, because of having a job to be able to do it. And I want to say to you, take advantage of opportunities that you have. My job knows that I'm a pastor. When I interviewed, I let them know that I'm a pastor. There's going to be times that saints will call, I'm going to need to be on the phone. There's going to be times that somebody's at the hospital, I'm going to need to leave to go to the hospital. And I do not want to work on Sunday mornings. I understand the nature of this business. So if you have to have me on Sunday evenings, I'll come. And they have been obliging for 20 years, saying, so when you want the word of God, when you desire the word of God, you love the things of God, God will make a way for you. Amen. And you will be able to store the word up. So again, you may have said, how do I get delivered? I've been delivered 1,000 times, and 1,000 times I've gone back to what I was doing. Your deliverance is in the word of God, and the retention of your deliverance, to be able to stay delivered, is in the word of God. So don't just be delivered on the day of your repentance. Stay delivered so that you can have that day of eternal deliverance, where we are elevated from this earth and we don't ever have to fool with this mess again. All these aches and pains and in our bodies, and all the aches and pains in our minds, mental mindsets, the hurts that we endure, we won't ever have to deal with that again. Amen. So saints of God, let's get delivered. Keep it made up. Keep what made up? Your made up mind. Keep your mind made up in Christ Jesus. Love you, people of God. Let's be on the prayer line Friday night at 7 o'clock. And let's be here Sunday morning at 11 o'clock.